You know, I stopped and thought about it. I always like to ask Aaron, is there anything you'd like me to teach? Just kind of a little bit nervous when I do that, honestly. But he says, I want you to teach on a shepherd's heart. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's a shepherd. I'm not a shepherd. He owns sheep. I don't, you know? Like, that'll put the pressure on, you know? Like, so the only story about shepherding I had, I thought I'd share with you. Maybe it's helpful. I hope it is. When I was 17 years old and struggling, and I had done some drugs, I was hallucinating by some water, and I saw these little rocks in the water, and they started growing up a little bit, and they turned into little white sheep. And then there's this big rock in the middle that grew up and became like a classic shepherd with a staff. You know, at the time I was like, "This is awesome! I'm tripping!" You know, if you know what I'm talking about, some of you, but. But the crazy thing is, like, God broke through and said something to me right then and right there, 17 years old. You are a shepherd. I was like, I don't even know anything about sheep, man. You know, I'm a druggie. What am I supposed to do? But I tell you that story for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a very important lesson in that for me is that God meets us where we are, not where we're going to be. You know, he met me there to tell me, I got a calling on your life to be a shepherd. But I remember distinctly thinking, what do you, like, I cannot picture myself taking care of sheep. You know what I mean? Like, what does that even mean? But then to realize throughout the whole Bible that God's people are similar to or used as an analogy of a sheep or an analogy of people, that we are God's sheep. He is our shepherd, the Bible says, over and over and over again. So the second important thing is that people are represented throughout the Bible as sheep. So I thought we'd turn to Matthew chapter 9 this morning. From verse 35 to the end of the chapter, I'll read that while you're turning. And this will be our time together. It says, then Jesus went about all the... Look, I maybe lost something here. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In some ways, you and I could look at this and realize sort of a centerpiece of Jesus's ministry and the way that he viewed multitudes is told to us right here, especially the multitudes he was dealing with. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. John's gospel tells us, Jesus told us in John's gospel that he is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd, right? So how does he look at a multitude of people like sheep having no shepherd? Now, that's a massive indictment on the religious leaders of the day. These are people that were to take care of the spiritual well-being of the people. And they should have had shepherds, but they didn't. And here's the reality, that the religious leaders looked at these people as opportunity. Opportunity to make money, opportunity to have position and privilege. That's what they saw people as an opportunity, as a platform. Rome obviously just saw people to conquer. That's all they saw. But Jesus saw people as sheep needing shepherds. And so he's going to give a remedy for that as we just read it. But let's take our time and look at verse 35. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. I just take note of that with you. That as big of a deal that Jesus was in his day, he went to cities and villages, right? That's a great preacher, man. That's a great preacher. That someone that can go to a big city and be useful and effective, but he can also go to a small town and be effective. That was Jesus. He wasn't too big to stop anywhere, and he wasn't too small to go anywhere. He was just willing to serve and preach and heal and teach anywhere he went. And so he went into the cities, the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness. But when he saw the multitudes, again in verse 36, he was moved with compassion. So we want to consider this in this first service as far as a shepherd according to Jesus. Our second service, we'll look at a shepherd according to Paul, the apostle. But the first thing about our shepherd that he is associated with is compassion. And simply for all of us this morning, maybe you're not called to be a pastor, but you are called to love people. And one of the ways that we love people, the first clue here, the thing that was driving Jesus to preach and teach and to go all these places and heal people, the very first word we want to focus in on is compassion. He had compassion for other people. I don't know where you're at, but just I hope you haven't lost compassion in your life. Hope you haven't grown cold and written people off. Compassion is defined as your pain and my heart. Your pain and my heart. Do you have enough space in your heart for other people to feel the pain that they're feeling? Man, it is so easy to write people off, isn't it? Yeah, they failed again. They never show up. They are always doing that stuff. And it's easy to write people off. It's easy to think, no, they'll never change. They're always going to be that way. They're just doing the same old antics. And I just say to you this morning, like our shepherd, let's be very careful not to lose compassion for people. If anyone could have been irritated because he knew everything and people didn't know anything, it would have been Jesus, right? Because usually when you and I think we know everything, we really just got like our own perspective on something. We think we're right and we're probably wrong. Yeah, right? Yes, it's just a reality, man. Like Pastor Ken Graves always said, if the whole world stinks, maybe you have cheese in your mustache, you know? I think that's a great way to put it. But if anyone could have been irritated that people aren't getting it, they're always needy, they're never going anywhere, they're always just showing up wanting something, man, that was Jesus. And yet it said he was moved with compassion. If you do studies in Greek and you care about that stuff, it's very visceral. This move with compassion was like, it's like having a knife in your guts. It just, he was restless. It was something inside of him that was just earning and yaking and aching. That was compassion, right? Compassion, what was driving him. And that compassion caused him, it says, to see the weary and scattered people like sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. I was talking to Pastor Aaron. I did the wise thing, I think, late last night. Should have done a lot sooner. I should have been like, hey, as a shepherd, do you have any advice for me? Fortunately, I did that late last night. But he sent me an interesting text about, you know, sheep. And I said, well, I'm assuming they need, like, shelter, you know, protection, and, you know, they need to feel safe. And he said, well, the shelter thing, you know, that doesn't really matter. But he says, you know, sheep, they need to move around. They need to stay active. So if we're likening ourselves to sheep this morning, just be active, right? Be active with your faith, right? Be active with the faith that you proclaim in your life, with your job and your work and the things that you do. Be active with your faith. But he says, you know, parasites are a big problem, and so the sheep really need to stay moving. The shelter piece isn't the big thing, but as long as they have the protection of the shepherd. Oh, man, this is beautiful. Beautiful imagery for us, no doubt, like sheep having a shepherd. But here's another thing, in light of the fact that Jesus saw people like sheep without a shepherd, he says the harvest is plentiful. We'll talk about the fact that it's go time right now. The harvest is plentiful right now. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let me ask you something. When you look around our world today, what do you see? What a flaming disaster, huh? Holy smokes, the chaos, the confusion, the injustice and all the stuff. It's like the agendas and the politics and the media and all of the garbage all the time. And you would be absolutely right. So would I. But that's what we see. But listen, what Jesus saw was a harvest. See, we see the problems. He sees the harvest. Right? Jesus is looking out, and we look out with our negative, I can't believe they got elected. I can't believe that these people are still doing that. And we can rant and rave and complain. And Jesus looks out at all of the, you don't think any of that foolishness was going on 2,000 years ago with Roman oppression, right? They believed that by force you could dominate people. You think they had any problems with their government? Man. And he looked out at crowds of people, and he saw opportunity, not just opportunity. He saw a harvest. And the way he says it is, it's ready to go. It's not, hey, we got to go plant. We got to turn over some soil, wait a little bit, put some water to it, fertilizer. He's like, it is ready to go right now. It's time to go. But the problem is, There's not enough people because the harvest is so massive out there. Now, that's always been an equation, and here's something that's really challenged me. I've always believed that to be the equation. A lot of work, a lot of harvest, not enough workers. That's true. But his statement here is not to say that there will never be enough workers. What he's saying is pray that there would be enough workers. Pray for more workers. When we're sad and down and in the dumps and we think, man, this world's going to hell in a handbasket, pray for workers. Send more people, Lord. Send more people like Paulie and Aaron and these other people. Send them, Lord. Send them into the harvest. There's so much harvest all around. And I remember when Pastor Aaron was getting ready to move here, God bless him, pastor with a, I don't know what his heart motivation was, but he just told Aaron, we're all set around here. We got these people on lockdown. He didn't have the mindset, there's a harvest, that we need more laborers. He's like, we're all set. Kind of got this area, locked down, figured out. Well, looking around, I think that he may have been wrong. Right, there's a harvest. There's a harvest everywhere. There can't be enough churches planted. Think about this. This is what's driving me these days. When I drive down the route that I live on, I go by every day, almost every day, a new pot shop that's springing up. Could you imagine if churches were going out at the rates of pot shops in Maine? You ever think about that? Oh, there's another one. You imagine a pot shop owner calling another guy and saying, hey, man, we got a lockdown, dude. We got tons of bud over here. Don't worry about it. Somehow they just keep springing up and people want more of it. And I think to myself, man, how awesome if there were churches going out like that. Man, there's another stinking church. Where are these people coming from? I would love that. Man, that'd be awesome. So the first thing is when we look out, what do we see? When Jesus looks out, what did he see? And then the thing is, let's not be afraid. Of letting people have what they want. You can look at the sinfulness and the choices and the politics, and it's very discouraging. We'll talk more about that in the second service anyway. But man, don't be afraid to let people have what they want. These agendas that are out there, they're rampant, they're so flamboyant, they're boisterous, they're seeming to get their way all the time. Too many acronyms to even bother with this morning, right? All the different acronyms we need to remember. It's like all the alphabet every other different way. Of all the different people groups that are out there that are disgruntled and taking over the world. Here's what I know, though. Let them have it. Let them have it. Because I don't know about you, but have you found in your life when you finally get what you want, you don't care about it anymore? Have you? Oh, yeah, you want it? Go ahead. Here, have it. Oh, you wanted that lifestyle? How's that working for you? Is it treating you like you wanted? Did you get everything out of it that you wanted? No, I'm actually dissatisfied. Good. Good. Now you need help, right? And that's what we're here for, because you didn't want to listen to us when you were fighting to have your way, and you got to be able to have sex with the same gender and all the things you wanted to do. You went ahead and did it, and you found, just like everybody else that tried to bore in the hole of humanity, nothing. It's empty. There's nothing there. It'll never satisfy. So go ahead and have it. So as we look around and we see people seeming to get their way and they're getting crazier and crazier, let them have it. Let them have it, because they'll get sick of it real fast. And we'll do what Pastor Aaron always taught me, pray on Satan's strays. Pray on Satan's strays. People that are like, man, I gave it a try. I joined that agenda. I'm tired of it. I'm just going to go ahead and take a wild guess. There's not a lot of liberal people in this room this morning. Okay. I'm taking a guess here. These guys are all probably liberals, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, man. But man, one of my favorite things to see in a conservative, Bible-preaching, proclaiming church like yours is when a liberal comes in and converts their political ideologies. It is the coolest thing, man. They're like, I tried it. It sucks. I'm like, yeah. Yes, it did. Probably a little too fired up for him, but yes, it did let you down, didn't it? It was a bummer. Yes. But it is the craziest thing to see. We think about them in theory, like, oh, those liberal people taking over the world. It's a whole other thing to watch them come into church and just weep and say, listen, I need that communion, man. I am so tired. I'm so sick of this agenda. I'm so sick of the information. I'm so sick of my crowd of friends. I want something different, just like every one of us. It's one of my favorite things to see, those liberal people strolling in and saying, yeah, I'm wrong. Now, the other thing is, The time for the harvest is right now. It's go time. So I almost asked, have you guys ever heard of Send It? But then I'm like, I'm pretty sure it originated in Machias, didn't it? Send it. You know, it's always a guy on a snowmobile with a mullet. Send it, dude. It's like, I don't think you should send that. I call your mother, you know, and send it, bud. I love it. That has blessed me so much. And I thought, man, we could use that in church, man. We could use that in ministry somewhere, right? Send it, dude. So I guess as your guest speaker, that's going to be an encouragement today. So let me take it like this for a second. Listen, people say the craziest things, don't they? They say crazy stuff. Talking about their sex lives in front of your kids. You're like, hey, stop. They're like, oh, man, my boss and I got this growth on my side. I don't want to know about that. I don't care. And this is the world we live in right now. People are talking about their sexual preferences and their how they identify and their gender. Like, whoa, I don't care. I don't want to know about that. So listen, take that concept that people will tell you whatever they're thinking about. They'll share with you the craziest, vile, inappropriate, lack of discretion type things to you. And what are we supposed to do as Christian people? Oh, we better just quietly just live out our example to them. I don't think so. Send it, bud. Send it. I got a few in the barrel. I've heard enough people. You just walk around and you listen to people and what they talk about. And oh man, Trump was awesome. And you're like, oh, yeah, Trump was awesome. You know what would really be awesome, though? If Jesus Christ came back for his church. Huh? Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. You know, there's people that, lobster fishermen, man. You guys know lobster fishermen in the room. Price of lobsters always suck anyways, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes. It doesn't matter if they're $95 a pound. Ah, the price sucks, dude. Sucks, dude. But I get it. I do get it. When lobster's like 1 cent a pound right now, I know it's tough going for you guys. But listen, take the opportunity to send it. When your coworkers are like, price of lobster sucks, man. You know what really sucks? You haven't given your life to Christ yet. That's what sucks. Yeah. Send it. If you're going to sit there and tell me about all your sexual preferences and the ladies you go with on the weekends, I'm going to tell you what I think. And I think it sucks that you haven't come to church yet. You haven't turned your life over to Christ. That's what I think. And this lobster boat is my pulpit this morning. Send it, bud. So that's what... So it's not because I face where this doesn't close it up for a second. I send it and I'm like, I'm hearing that voice, send it, bud. I'm like, oh no. But I have to, or I'm a hypocrite, right? So I gotta send it to this person right now. Listen, the harvest is great just like it was 2,000 years ago. So with all these people out there doing all these crazy things, living all these crazy lives, they are ready to go. They're way more ready than we give them credit. And those crazy conversations that we put ourselves into, like, hey, you know what really stinks is that you haven't given your life to Christ? You'd be amazed at how someone will respond to that. We have a bit of a problem in the church where, not that it's a wrong thing innately, but there's a big part of it that's a problem. It's like, well, I'm going to just live out my example. I'm not going to say anything, you know? Like there's an old saying, preach Christ, and if necessary, use words. That is bizarre, right? I get being a good testimony, but do you know what the Bible actually calls us to? Not just living out a great example, but living and speaking, preaching, proclaiming to people. Because you just being some like holy 2.0 person, they're like, what's up with you? And there are those people on a job for years and years, and they don't know that you're a believer, where you go to church, what you like to do. They just know you're a really nice guy or a really nice girl, and you do a lot of cool things. You're really helpful, and you got a good attitude until you tell them. You know why I do that? You know why I always take your shift after work? Because I love Jesus. That's why. Not just living out a good example, but living and proclaiming to the world. And listen, if you're intimidated by people, I get it. I've been there. I know. But if you're intimidated, like, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot. My boss is going to hate me. All those things that we think and it stops us from sharing and sending it to people. Man, all it takes is one time for you to realize how fragile people are in their walk in life. You see it one time and it's addicting. You go ahead and send it one time. If you're that person that you never do it, you're like, I just kind of keep my faith in my back pocket. Like, I'm not interested in getting crazy about it. Do it one time. Share it with someone. But particularly, if you see fruit in it, you won't be able to stop. It's so addictive. If you're an addictive personality, man, that's the thing to get addicted to. Just telling your coworker, like, just don't mess with Larry. He's a screwball. He's messed up. You don't even talk to him. Give a shot to Larry. It's one of my favorite things. Oh, that plumber, dude, he's just don't even talk to him. I'll make it a bet with our workers, guys. Let's get to know Larry the plumber. Figure out, watch him talk about how his wife left him for another woman and he's really upset and he wants to kill himself. And hey, Larry, I got good news for you, bro. Jesus loves you. And he's like, oh, are you serious? Yeah. And you see that and you're like, I want to do more of that because people are so fragile. They're right on the brink. Do you remember when you were there on the brink of death and life? You're like, I don't know if I want to keep going. Maybe you had a loaded gun or you had a bunch of pills or a noose or you're going to cut yourself or drive your car off a cliff. You were on the brink of death. And you thought, I don't know if it's worth it. And something happened to you, didn't it? Something, someone stepped in the way. And that's what blows me away is that the stories. Like this person called that person and they reached out to me and then she prayed for him and then they called me and then I ended up in church. Isn't that? It's so crazy, man. It's like, wow. But somebody along the way sent it to you, didn't they? That person for me was Aaron Dudley. Drove me nuts. Drove me crazy. I went to a teen camp. I'm just trying to like do my time. I was like, if I do this, I don't have to go and do anything crazy. Just go to teen camp. I have a place to live after. I don't want to be homeless anymore. That was the arrangement. Go to the teen camp, and then you have a place to live. This guy's calling me every day. How do you even get my phone number? Hey, this is Pastor Aaron. I just wanted to check in on Greg. This back when messages were on a big box at your house, you know? Hey, you know, Pastor, looking for Greg. I'm like, my mom's like, hey, this Aaron guy called you again. Should I be worried? I'm like, yeah, you should be worried. He's a weird guy. I don't know why that guy's calling me. Quick, I did not plan to tell you this part, but funny story, it was actually Lisa Dudley that told him, you call that kid. And you know, guys know how busy Aaron is. He's always been like that. He's calling me. Matt, I just can't imagine him getting stiffed by a 17-year-old on the phone day after day. But I watched this stupid movie, and it just portrayed how cheap life is to people. And I was a wreck. And I ran home, and I was like, what was that guy's name? What was his number? She's like, I don't know. I deleted all the messages. I was like, I need to get to that church tonight. I need to get over there. My mom, God bless her, was just like, you didn't see the importance of it. She's like, well, man, don't want to spend the gas. My sister, who's been working on me for years, is like, hey, she got in her car, drove across town, picked me up, brought me to church. They had a communion service that night. I was just snot bubbles, you know, the whole, oh, my life. And Aaron's there, pat me on the back, and something to the effect of like, man, you got to do something. I'm like, yeah, I think so. You know, I think maybe. He's like, why don't you move in with me? We'll see how this goes. And it was a wild ride. But he was that guy. He was that guy just calling. And I knew when it really finally clicked with me, there was that guy. He's been calling me. He's been driving me crazy. And you're that person at work. You're that person in your family. They're like, yeah, Jesse. Yep, Jesse. It's been fun over the years. I remember right here in Machias, there was a guy that told me, and you guys know Ariel Wanamaker. We were doing a lot of work at the lumber yard, and this one guy just said, just don't ever talk to me about God, okay? And your religion and all that stuff. I'm like, well, all right. Years go by, and he says, tears in his eyes, hey, man, my mom just got cancer. And not that you would, like, patronize somebody, you know, but you just say, but we're those people, right? We're those people. You're in the back of their mind somewhere. They're like, that guy that sent it, man, she's driving me crazy. He is plentiful. It's just, it's hard to even imagine if we could see it with our eye how ready people are. You know the persona that people put on? Like, I'll never go to church. I hate God. The building will collapse. You know those people? You're like, some of you are like, that was me. That whole persona, here's something I learned a long time ago. When you throw a rock into a pack of wolves, the one that got hit is the one that yelps the loudest. It's the one that's like, I'll never go to church, try and see. I have way more hope and faith in that person than I do the churchy person that's like, oh, I just can't wait to hop, skip, and jump over and get over to church with you sometime. We'll never see you. I know you. I've met you before. You will never come. No, I know you've heard it. Trust me, I will be there Sunday. No, you won't. Your church is amazing. I'm coming back. No, you're not. I've like heard this a lot. I know you're not. But it's the guy that's like, you'll never catch me dead in that building. See you Sunday. It's like you stinking rat. Just give up, you know? I know where you're at. But the harvest is ready, man, isn't it? Think about the cold fronts that people put on, and they are just so fragile. The rock hit them. Oh, you're sad? You're mad? You don't like me because I'm pointing out what you already know? Well, good. That's because we're the harvesters. We're the harvesters going through chopping stuff down in people's lives. And it's a little uncomfortable for them. One thing that Charles Spurgeon said, he said, there's a lot of men in churches wearing suits, but they don't know how to use a sickle. Kind of cool, huh? A lot of guys look great on Sunday. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where's your sickle on Monday, man? Where's your sickle in the afternoon at your family dinner, man? Bring that sickle out and start whacking it. It's awesome. But the harvest is truly plentiful. Here's the thing, guys. Girls, sisters, brothers, the laborers are few. That is a reality. So he says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers to his harvest. So I have two last things we want to consider: praying and sending. Okay, so first thing, let's tackle praying. It was actually Brian Campbell here years ago. I don't know if how many of you know or remember Brian, but man, what a great guy. And he was leading children's ministry in the old building that is now gone. It shocked me on my way in today. Oh, it's gone. Almost went off the road. But I remember Brian saying to a couple, it was this like ministry forming moment for me. This couple's like, oh yeah, well, thank you so much for the children's ministry application. We'll definitely pray about it. We'll pray about if we're going to help little children in need in education. We'll pray about that. And Brian's like, don't pray about it, because if you do, God will tell you to do it. It's like, that is awesome. That is so cool, man. You can say that to people. He's like, I don't know. Lord, do you want me to help the children in Sunday school learn about you and be an example to them? And so years down the road, when they look back and think of me, they remember you. Do you want me to do that? Or would you rather just have me skip church every other Sunday? Don't pray about that. You know what God's going to tell you to do. Go to church more and help with the kids, right? Listen, check this out. Some of the children's ministry people are like, yeah! Listen. Pray to the Lord, he says to these guys. And you know what's amazing? If we picked up in chapter 10, he calls them together and he sends them out. They pray, they get sent. Just be very leery about something. You start praying about it, next thing you know, you're the one. It's funny, the very act of prayer sometimes is the confirmation that we need. Oh, I've been praying about it for a long time. I just don't know. Do you know anybody else that cares about what you're praying about? No, that's you. That's your thing, man. No one else is praying about Croatia. You are. I don't know. Am I the one? Well, why are you thinking about it? Right? Sometimes just logic, right? But pray that the Lord of the harvest would send. And then they're like, okay, all right, Lord, send him. He's like, all right, you go. Go, man. And they go. They're sent out. But something so important as we end this morning, this whole idea of our shepherd telling us to pray, sending us out, is the sending part. So I'm going to read you a couple things if I can conjure them up here. Notice here that the need does not constitute a call. Not everybody is called to go. That's the idea. So here's the thing. Being sent is of utmost importance. When you pray and you get that commission, then you go. Like the disciples, like the apostles will go. But let me put it in a 2023 context for us down here in Down East Maine. Some of you, in the course of the next few years, will leave Machias Christian Fellowship. You'll move out of country, you'll move out of town, you'll do something different. It's just the way it goes. That's life. You might not always be here at MCF. It's hard reality, but it's true. It's sad. It's always painful when we lose people we love to go and serve other places. But all I can do this morning is encourage you. When that moment comes for you, you want to be sent, not went. Don't be went. I'm going to go ahead and say this. The limited experience that I have, the vast majority, if not almost 100% of people that went, that left on their own volition, that went, they were angry or they felt that they weren't like, they fruitful, God-honoring life in the truest of senses. However, in contrast, the man that stays in the program and is sent out at the end has a much better chance of making it. The couple that faithfully stays at the church for a while and they're like, this is not doing so much. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to try that. Make sure you're sent. Hey, you might be disgruntled this morning. You're like, I'm hanging on by a thread. I'm just tired of the way Aaron's so bold with things. And you have all your reasons why you're ready to leave this church. That may be a very valid thing, but make sure you're sent from here, not went. Because the wents are never good. Man, I shared this a few months back at our church. Oh, all the wents came up. All the wents were like, I'm getting ready to go. I'm like, I figured, no kidding. Because it's a perfect description of you. You just want to go and do your own thing. You don't want to be sent. You don't want to be going with a blessing. You want to do it because you're smarter. You know better. You have a great idea. Man, and the people that went, you know where I've seen people go several times, many times? Completely out of church altogether. Altogether out of church, out of fellowship. Whether they're living in debauchery or they got like this little theology about how they're the only faithful Christian left on the earth. I mean, these are the things that happen to people when they went. So Jesus, very importantly, says, pray to the harvest that he would send laborers. You know, John's gospel is amazing in this, that it tells us over and over and over again that Jesus was sent, Jesus was sent, Jesus was sent. Again, hey, anyone qualify for not being having to be told what to do? Jesus. And yet he was always looking to the Father in order to go forward. Where do you want me to go? He was sent. Judas Iscariot went. He did his own thing, and he ended up hanging himself. So being sent is a very, very important thing. So with this in mind, I'm going to end with sort of a poem type thing. Well, two of them, really. First is one that says, Christ the Son of God has sent me to the midnight lands, mine the mighty ordination of the pierced hands. But here's the one we really want to consider as we leave today, considering this. William MacDonald said, let me look on the crowd as my Savior did, till my eyes with tears grow dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep and love them for love of him. So Lord, this morning as we're here, there's enough of us that are represented that are all different kinds of backgrounds, all different manner of places that we're coming from this morning. In a way that only you can, you take one message and you apply it to so many hearts. So I commit this to you this morning, Lord. For every difference that we have in this room, I pray that you would do that work in us to be bold, to go into the harvest, and to pray and to be sent in to the work that you have for us. Man, there's so many of us that have different positions, and we're waiting for that commission, Lord. Make it clear, send more people, or we need more laborers for this massive harvest that's all around us. I thank you for this faithful church, this group this morning, that we can laugh, we can consider, we can cry even. But it would mean nothing if we didn't do it for you, if we didn't gather in honor of your name and glory. So I commit this time to you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.